Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
In this special audio cast, we talk to a woman who is divorced and feels called to preaching in the Catholic Church in the midst of the world. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3,
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with Alex Fuentes. She is a young woman who is divorced and yet works to promote the Catholic message. How do you reconcile all of that? You know, especially since she truly is what I would call a young millennial mother of four, and she's doing something a little different, which is why I'm actually interviewing her. You know, technically, I try to interview people who are a little different from the Catholic experience, and I'm finding that even within the Catholic Church, there are a lot of different approaches to how to be Catholic. And in this case, you're going to find Alex Fuentes truly a breath of fresh air, as she was for me, even though we were in the middle of New York City, so it wasn't that fresh. And there's going to be a lot of noise in the background, because guess what? That's what the world does. It makes a lot of noise. And you got to talk the big talk in the Big Apple in order to get your message across, which is exactly what Alexis Fuentes is doing. She's actually creating, well, she's actually part of a platform that is kind of like the TED Talks, and she's actually reaching out to non-Catholics. And that's exactly what our deep dish discussion is going to be all about. And this episode is brought to you by CatholicSpeakers.com. It is the leading organization if you're looking for preachers, speakers, and musicians for your parish or your next big event. All you've got to do is reach out to CatholicSpeakers.com. And we'll be back with more deep dish discussion on Shoot the Shiitake with Alexis Fuentes. We'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. With me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion. I'll be speaking with Alexis Fuentes. She's a speaker on Catholic spirituality as well as a motivational guide. She's a youth minister for a Catholic church in New Jersey. And she's also working with Trisha Brooke, who was one of the co-founders of, well, she worked with the TED Talks, and now she's created her own thing called The Art of the Talk. Is that what it's called?
The Art of the Big Talk.
The Art of the Big Talk, because
big
we
talk.
Are in the big city. We are in the Big Apple. Alexis, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
It's exciting to be here because we are sitting outside of the Palace Hotel.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, I don't stay at places like this. I'm here to give my own talk, and I had a chance to meet up with Alexis. She sent me an email, and so now we're literally sitting underneath the spires of St. Patrick's Cathedral. How intense is this?
It's so beautiful. It's amazing.
It's the only thing that gives any type of peace to the noise in the background and cursing cab drivers. That's kind of where we are. Now, Alexis, you reached out to me. Tell me, what was your motivation?
Oh, I love you.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Okay, our interview is done. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? That's all you need to know. No, I mean, you said that. Now, usually when someone says they're my biggest fan, I'm like, fight my mother. But why?
Yeah.
Tell me, what is it that you wanted to reach out to me
so
for?
So I found you a few years ago. I don't even know how, but I stumbled upon your website and I started listening to your podcasts, and you were doing everything that I want to be doing. You're doing what I feel every Catholic should be doing, which is that you are reaching your arms as far and as wide as you possibly can.
I've got short arms.
And they are reaching, and they're reaching. And you are bringing in all kinds of people with all kinds of stories. And in doing that, you are reminding people of their dignity. You are excited about their lives, their stories, and you are being the loving presence of Christ.
Well, okay, so that's not always true. I'm not always excited because I might disagree heavily with people, but I at least want to let them know that I care about them,
yeah,
even if I disagree with them. Is that kind of what you want to do? You're speaking on topics of spirituality, and you're a motivational guide. I mean, do you also wear yoga pants on the airplane? I mean, you sound like a millennial to the nth degree. What does this mean? Tell me.
Okay, so I used to call myself a teacher on Catholic spirituality, and then I realized that's not it.
Why?
Because while I have some things that I can teach, that's not my MO. It's not about teaching Catholic spirituality. It's about sharing my experience of Catholic spirituality.
Usually I don't talk to Catholics about Catholic things on this show. It always becomes that because I'm a Catholic priest. But I kind of reached out to you because you're doing something a little different.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Okay. So I started to get really excited about the idea of creating a talk for a secular stage about my Catholicism.
Okay.
And I didn't really think that was possible, but I continued to just think about it and pray over it and marinate over it. And I was able to bring a really short 3-minute talk to the attention of Tricia Brooke, who's a director here in New York.
Nice.
And she is not Christian, she's Buddhist. Really
open.
Wait a
second, so Buddhist is not a religion. Just letting everybody know right off the bat, but that's okay. It's a way of life. It's a philosophy.
Yes.
But they treat it like a religion, and that's okay. Buddha would never want to be known as a god. Buddha was just a wise guy. And he got really fat, but that's another story. So did you kind of just call her and say, hey, I love what you're doing. I want you to hear my talk.
No, actually, she was opening up something called the Speaker Salon, where she was inviting people to come in, bring some of their stories, and essentially she would work with them the way that she worked with actors in her shows, where she would help us to develop a stage presence and develop a narrative and really create a big talk for a big stage.
Have you done public speaking before?
No, not like that. Not until I met Tricia. And so I gave her kind of a quick 3-minute spiel of what I was about, and she was really open to it. And I said, do you think this has legs? Could I find myself on a stage? And she said, I absolutely think it has legs. So I continued to work with her and with a team of other speakers, and was able to give a talk on her stage a couple of times in New York.
I mean, wait a second. New York, people forget, is a very Catholic city, but nobody sees it as that anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is why, by the way, I do pilgrimages even to New York to kind of elucidate all of these things that are just Catholic, right smack in the middle of the Big Apple, which is sometimes the Forbidden Apple. But that's another story. You come in here, little chutzpah, you know, it might be, what is your native background?
My family's from Puerto Rico.
Okay, so you come up here with your Boricua ways and you're like, listen, lady, I'm gonna make you listen to me talk about Catholic things for 3 minutes. And she says, I'd like to hear it, even though I'm a Buddhist. What motivated you to do that? That's very strange.
Well, I mean, that's been my goal. I love TED Talks. I'm an academic at heart. I love sharing big ideas. I love learning.
You're an academic at heart, but
yes.
Do you have a degree as well?
I'm actually working on my degree. I'm 2 classes away from my degree.
Okay.
At Seton Hall University, where I will be getting a degree in systematic theology.
Okay, now that's kind of weird. I mean, just because you don't look like a systematic type. You're not a nerd in any way.
Well, yes, I am.
Okay, well, the confession comes true. But you look like you'd be, and again, this is, just take a look, by the way, at the Facebook page and the social media post. You just look like a young millennial, and yet you want to talk about Catholic things to non-Catholics.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Let's keep going here, because as you did this talk, how was it received by not this woman who, you know, you'd be paying her to help you, But how about just the people who come to these talks? Do they like it?
Yes, that was the amazing thing. And this is what made me so excited, was that I was really nervous. I was really shaking in my boots to go onto a stage and to present myself in the fullness of who I am, which is very much a Catholic woman, without any kind of apology for that. I mean, I was really, really committed to
speaking.
People
think we're obnoxious.
Yeah, people think all kinds of things. But when they met me and they heard my story, the commentary I got back was, wow, I don't want to like you, but I do.
Yeah.
I don't like anything you're about, but I love you.
Well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
No, okay. Is it because they like your hair? They like your fashion sense? What do you think it is that they like about
you? No, I think what they like is that they're receiving a different expression of lived Catholicism than what they have seen through movies, through...
So let's talk about your lived Catholicism,
yeah,
because
let's do it.
It's not normal. But then again, what is normal?
Yeah.
Tell me about your life.
Okay, I live in New Jersey. I have four amazing children, ages 12, 11, 10, and 8.
Okay.
Three boys and a girl. I'm a single mom. My mother and her husband live in my house with me.
So it's not your dad, it's your stepdad?
No, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. What else? I work for a church full time.
Wait, where's your husband?
Oh, so my former husband lives about 15, 20 minutes from me, and we see each other pretty much every week.
Okay. We're going to talk about that, because I think that's a big issue right now, is just divorce. Do you have a few minutes just to share a little bit about what happened? Because you're a good Catholic.
Yeah.
Good Catholics, quote unquote, don't get divorced.
Yeah, I know.
What's your thought of that? And does this come out in your talks?
Absolutely.
Which is probably why people can relate to you.
Yes, yes. So several things that come out in my talks that I think make me quite vulnerable and quite relatable and quite broken. One of them being that I am Catholic and I am divorced. My divorce was a long time in the making. My husband and I, we got married and were trying to make it work from the get-go. So it wasn't a shock. It was just really hard.
You said in your introduction to me in one of your emails that your divorce, how should I say it? Your divorce is so much better than your marriage.
Yes.
I mean, and that can be interpreted in a thousand different ways. And could actually make you sound like a cold, prude, you know what?
Yes.
But you're not. I don't understand. Explain.
Okay. So when I was kind of in the process of thinking about divorce with my husband, I remember calling a good friend of mine and saying, you know, I think this is happening. This is on the horizon. And I was really struggling. And she said, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. I know you can be a saint. And that really...
This is just a good Catholic, you know.
Yeah, and that really was like a sword to my heart, because what her words meant to me was that if I went this route, then I couldn't be a saint. And of course...
Like if you got a divorce, you could never become a saint?
That was my fear, was that I was really... That I was doing something so detrimental in the world and to my family and to my own soul that I wouldn't be able to be a saint, which I take that very seriously. I mean, that's my goal in life. Let's just be clear.
Okay.
I mean, I want sainthood for my life. But there was no love in our marriage. And therefore, there was
Why'd you get married?
We got married because we had a child. And we wanted to
parent
that child together. And we thought we could. And we were very young. We were very young. And we really were committed to the idea of marriage. But
that's
were never...
sublimination, by the way. Where you love the idea of marriage, but you don't necessarily understand it.
Right.
And you kind of replace it and romanticize it. And you find somebody who thinks they have the same ideals. None of these things have conversations. You guys don't have conversations about it. So there's a level of immaturity. I hate saying it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we were immature people trying to do a very mature thing. And we tried very hard for 10 years.
That's a long time.
10 years.
And you produced four children.
Four children.
Did you kind of just think... The more kids we have, the more solid...
No. It was
nothing
like
that. So did you plan on four children? Because that's a lot in today's standard.
I was open to life.
Uh-huh.
After our fourth child, he was no longer really open to life.
Was this kind of like a midlife crisis? Because you all are a little too young for that anyway, but...
I don't know. I think he was always open to the idea of a big family, but for him, a big family meant four. And for me, it meant... however many
people. And so this obviously affects you in all of your messaging that you kind of give to a secular audience now. But what do you do to reconcile this idea of divorce and commitment and faith?
Right. So I'll fast forward a little bit. We ended up having a divorce and...
Was it ugly?
No, it was beautiful.
This is so weird.
But this is what's so great.
Right.
Is that when my husband asked me for a divorce, we sat across the table from each other. We were having dinner, and he said, I've never loved you.
Jeez.
And I know that that sounds hurtful, but it wasn't hurtful. It was honest. It didn't mean that he never loved me. I mean, my ex-husband and I love each other very much. It meant that we were finally coming to terms with the fact that we were not in love with each other, and we never were. And so that moment of honesty just opens the floodgates for conversation, for dialogue, for understanding one another. And it released all of this tension that was there because we were trying to be something that we weren't.
Sure. You were faking it, but never made it.
Yes, we were not making it. So we got a divorce. And then because we were divorced and we were so committed to our family, we established weekly meetings. We met every week on a Tuesday night. We talked through our calendars. We said, who's got baseball? Who's got soccer? Who's going to drive? We had family meetings established once monthly. We prayed together at those meetings. We continue to go to Mass together as a family.
Wait a minute. I mean, well, some people look at this and say, well, why don't you guys just get back together again?
Because we weren't in love. We weren't in love.
So you guys are more friends?
And we were excellent friends. We're excellent friends. But trying to be married, and I don't mean we weren't in love in this kind of emotive way. Because
sure.
Somebody says, well, love is not an emotion. It's a commitment. It's a decision. Sure. But for us, no matter how hard we tried, now, how many good decisions we made, we weren't making it work. We were just really hurting each other.
Mm.
And after our divorce, we were able to be so kind to one another and really supportive and really open because all of the hurting stopped.
So when we come back...
Is that helpful?
Oh, yeah. Super helpful. When I come back, I'm going to kind of pepper you with a few more questions about what you're doing now, why you want to do this crazy thing about trying to quote-unquote evangelize such a secular city, and then figure out how you can kind of survive, perhaps even thrive after your divorce when we return with more Shoot the Shiitake interviewing Alexis Fuentes. We'll be back in just a moment.
And we hope you're enjoying this deep discussion on Shoot the Shiitake. And if you like our message and want to let others know about our good news, bringing conversions from our conversations, and you want to support us, all you've got to do is let people know to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform, and with $10 or more each month by going to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds, spelled out, you'll get access to premium content, whether it be some of the talks that I've given, homilies that are for particular groups, or even just deeper discussions on very Catholic topics. We need your support. We love your support. And we want to say thank you by giving you extra cool stuff. So please encourage others to listen and support us by going to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, talking to Alexis Fuentes. I mean, I'm kind of riveted, to be honest with you, to hear how you are now kind of loving your former husband in a more honest way than when you were married. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So as I said, we established weekly meetings. We have family meetings. We go to Mass together as a family. After a while of being separated, I met his now significant other, who is really fantastic.
So there's no chance of you guys getting together?
No. Okay. No.
Is she jealous in any way? Does she act weird?
I don't think so, because there's really nothing, there's no kind of energy between my ex-husband and I in that way.
Do you hope to get married again at another point in your life?
I'm open to it.
Okay. I know a couple guys. No, you're open to it. Now, did you get an annulment? Because an annulment basically is official decree of nullity. Not saying that you didn't care for each other and that your children are quote-unquote bastard children. That's just not what it means at all. It just means that what you had was not a sacramental marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church, because there were quote-unquote defects, flaws. There were reasons for it not to be a sacramental marriage. Are you even trying to pursue something like that?
Not yet. I think I need to kind of discern that for myself.
So, but are you kind of like going out and trying to find a...
No.
So you are a good Catholic.
Yeah, no, I'm not dating or anything like that.
I mean, you got kind of a busy life. You're doing youth ministry and you're kind of trying to create, I hate to use this word, but I use it all the time for myself, a brand and a platform.
Mm.
What is yours?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, I mean, because you're making yourself even relevant to non-Catholics, it seems to me. Why don't you just simply try speaking in the Catholic world?
Right. Okay. So I think sometimes I feel nervous about speaking in the Catholic world because I feel like I'm not Catholic enough.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't think that my spirituality doesn't necessarily express itself in a pious way. I don't always understand some of the things.
Wait a minute. You're studying systematic theology.
Yes. Yeah. So my spirituality really kind of is welled up in my academics, you know, in kind of a very personal connection to Jesus. I was Southern Baptist for a really long time. So.
Okay. Well, you just dropped that bomb on us here.
So I've got Protestant roots there too. Yeah. So I just feel like.
Alexis, you're a weirdo.
Yeah, I am. But when I find myself in Catholic circles, I feel like a weirdo. But when I find myself in non-Catholic circles, I just feel like somebody who's trying to live out my faith in an honest way, and in a way that's super inviting, super loving, super hopeful.
So you're not Catholic enough in the Catholic world. You're too Catholic for the secular world.
Yeah.
You don't feel comfortable being Catholic as you express yourself in the Catholic Church.
Well, I feel comfortable in terms of the work that I do, but I'm not necessarily sure that Catholic speaking organizations would want me to represent them.
Why not? Let me just hear that very honest opinion. Why you don't think like a Catholic Speakers Bureau,
right?
Because by the way, one of them is a sponsor for this show. So they might be listening right now.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for being you. And I think that's the thing. You're just trying to be you.
Right.
Which includes your primary description would be Catholic.
Right.
And yet you want to speak to the non-Catholic world.
Yeah, because I think
could this just be a calling? Let me just give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I just feel like there's so much healing that has to happen between the church and the world. And if I just stay stuck talking to us Catholics, I don't feel like I'm doing that work. You know, I need to go and talk to somebody who's been hurt by our faith, and I need to apologize in a way, and I need to be open to hearing their story, and then I need to be open to embracing them, whoever they may be, in whatever walk of life they may be living.
There's a lot of people who just think that the church is filled with bigoted homophobes, old farty men.
Yeah.
And not necessarily young millennial women who've experienced divorce, single motherhood. Now, you know, you're Latina. So, gosh, you would be kind of like the perfect person that, say, like a political action committee would find, interview, kind of like an AOC, an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to promote their message. What is your ultimate message as you are going to relate to non-Catholics and in a very political world? How do you maneuver your message through the politics of it all?
Ooh.
You're pro-life?
Yeah, I was going to say, as soon as you say politics, of course, I think of life issues. But one of the things, I do speak about life issues.
Sure.
But I am very emphatic about talking about life issues as the range of life issues that we discuss as a church. Most people think of pro-life as just being an issue about being anti-abortion. But pro-life for me means immigration reform. It means
death penalty or...
Yeah, I was going to say it means death penalty. It means immigration reform. It means care for the elderly.
So you're basically talking about the seamless garment approach to caring for life.
Right. And I think that understanding the sanctity of life, that's something that we, in my experience, non-Catholics don't understand that language and don't understand what that concept means to us. And so they have no idea why we're fighting for
it. And we're in New York. We're actually kind of right on the street where they do the gay pride parade. And you're speaking in a theater hall with other speakers. And I know they're going to be pro-gay.
Mm-hmm.
Just how do you deal with all that?
Well, I'm not sure that I deal with it as much as I am open to it and responsive to it. I'm not looking to fix anyone or to convert anyone. I'm open to sharing my message of the gift of faith and the gift of the church and what it means for Jesus to be alive and well and what it means to live by the obedience to scriptures and to the church. I'm about bringing all of that to light and showing people how beautiful and how transformative it is.
Have you had any converts from your conversations?
I wouldn't say I've had converts, but I have definitely had people who, I mean, I've had conversion moments. People who don't believe in God who might consider God now, or people who couldn't understand why men should be priests who are now open to the idea that it makes sense. I have a lot of complicated feelings about the things that our church teaches.
This complication of feelings, where do you think it comes from? I mean, is it coming from your doubt in the Catholic Church?
No. It doesn't necessarily come from doubt, but it comes from live encounters. You know, I can stand with the church on its stance on sexuality and on family and on marriage, all of that. I certainly stand with it and will
teach. What if one of your three boys comes out to you and says, Mom, I'm gay? What do you do?
The first thing I do is I would hug him.
Okay.
Right? And the second thing I would do is listen to him.
Uh-huh. And would he says, like, I want to bring my boyfriend over, spend the night at the house, even though you have younger children.
I have no idea. I have no idea what I would do.
In other words, you're just taking it one day at a time here?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, honestly, I don't know the answer to that question. But what I do know, absolutely, is that incredible dialogue and listening would happen first. And that's really all that I know. And I think that's what makes me a good speaker and a good evangelist, is that that's at the core, that's at the center. I don't have the answers. I can tell you what I believe, but I don't really know.
And you're also taking classes to help you understand.
Absolutely.
And clarify
sure.
what you believe. I think that's one of the big issues, that the issues are not understood by anyone.
Right, and I can certainly, to a degree, articulate what the church teaches, and I can articulate it in a way that makes sense for the common person, I think. I mean, I think at this point in my studies, I can do that. But in terms of changing people's minds or creating conversion, I mean, I think that is so rooted in relationship, so rooted in love. And one of the big things I talk to my teens about is that on the walk to Emmaus, Jesus walks with his disciples the wrong way. He knows it's the wrong way and he walks with them anyway. And I think for me, it's about accompanying. It's about accompanying people in their journey, never saying, hey, this is right. I mean, I'm not about to say you're right, but I also don't think I'm not sure that I'm about to tell you that you're wrong either. I'm just going to walk, listen, and live rightly, and hope that my example and the love that I have is enough.
So you don't want to speak for the, well, I mean, it's like you don't want to, but you're not doing a lot of speaking for the Catholic Church because you don't think that the Catholic Church can handle this kind of conversation.
No, I just don't know that I'm the right authority, I think, or the right face. I don't know.
I mean, all I know is that if you were into politics, trying to do the same thing on a social justice or on a legal scale, mm-hmm. people would definitely recruit you because of the image that you bring. Mm. And maybe the reason why you're so relevant to this secular world in the Big Apple is because you are a normal person. Divorce. You know, you're kind of experiencing the questions and the challenges of your Catholic faith. You left the Catholic Church. What was it ultimately that brought you back to the Catholic Church? Mm. Clearly my show. No, I'm kidding. No, what was it that brought you back?
Well, as I said, I enjoyed a wonderful Protestant childhood in a way. I was with Southern Baptist Church for a long time and went on missions and loved experiencing scripture and evangelization through that. But I felt a void. I felt a void. And one day I found myself in a daily mass church. Chapel. I mean, I didn't even participate in the mass. I was just kind of sitting in the back row.
Daily mass. Why would you even go?
Exactly. I have no idea why I found myself there. I was at, I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was St. Thomas More Church at Florida State University, for those of you who are
Gators,
fans.
Whatever.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Whoever they are. I don't even know.
Go Seminoles.
Okay. You're talking to a guy who knows nothing about college football, except for they are awesome. But anyway.
Yeah. So I was sitting at that church in the very back row, not participating and just being fully aware that that was the presence of Jesus Christ.
Huh.
And I just knew that he was totally real and that he was there to nourish me.
So what's next for you, Alexis, since you are kind of making or trying to create a platform? I don't even know. What is next for you? What do you hope to do?
I haven't planned beyond this interview, to be completely honest.
This interview doesn't take that much planning. It just takes you to not lie to me.
No, I mean, I'm developing a talk actually on the pro-life, pro-choice debate. Actually, I'm working with somebody on developing that. I have no idea who's going to open that door for me to give that. I have no idea what my next platform would be, but
people want to bring you out and just say, hey, look, I'd love to have you come out and talk to our school or to our whatever. I mean, because this is how speaking happens in the Catholic
sure.
Church's world. Been doing it for 20 plus years and it just requires a platform. I don't like to share the microphone with people if they want to kind of push their agenda, but I honestly think what you're trying to do is just be real, mm-hmm. even with your questions.
Yeah.
Doubt is not a sign of the devil. it's the sign of God.
Yeah.
Really.
Searching.
Because it tells you that you are searching. It's when you despair in your doubt. That's the struggle. Mm-hmm. Have you felt despair?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What got you over that?
Absolutely. Endurance. Fortitude, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we speak about. You know,
you sound Catholic enough if you're actually calling it, if you can actually name the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's going to be the trick to determine your Catholicism level. But yeah. How do they find you? Where can they reach out to you?
Oh, so you can find me on alexisfuentes.life.
Dot life.
Yes, dot life. I don't know how I ended up with that domain, but I did, and I got really excited when I found it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and honestly, I think people have reached out to me for different things. Because I write and because I do speaking, people have reached out to ask me to help them develop talks or to kind of work on their books, things like that. Some people have invited me to speak specifically to youth because that's who I work with most of the time.
Yeah, you are young. I mean, but you're also a mom of four kids.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm not that young.
But you don't look like a mom of four kids, I can tell you that much. I mean, and at the same time, you're doing youth ministry as a parent.
Right.
That is like sometimes a big no-no because you would be too close to the kids you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not do that? How do you kind of separate your mommyhood from your professional ministry?
Well, one of the perks, I think, is that I have something like 300 students to serve.
So your kids get lost in the crowd.
Yeah, so you kind of can't. Actually, but I work for a church that's different from my home parish.
Okay, good. So it's, okay, your kids aren't going to be like,
Miss Fuentes,
I mean, mommy.
No.
Okay, good. So last question here, because this has been, for me, interesting and engaging. I'm going to share more about what I've gotten out of this in my carryout order. But my last question to you is simply, how can I be a good priest for you?
I was so excited because I was like, I know what question he's going to ask.
Dang it.
I love this question. I really do love this question. Please continue to reach out to the person that no other Catholic is reaching out to. Please bring those voices onto your stage, because those are the people that we as Catholics need to encounter. We need to remember that everyone has a story. We need to remember that everyone has dignity. We have to remember that in order to love somebody, we have to meet them. We have to look at their face. We have to hold their hand, and we have to see their scars. And if we're not doing that, we're not authentic Catholics. We're not doing lived Catholicism. So please keep doing that.
You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. She just gave me a charge to reach out to everyone and anyone. You can find out more about Alexis Fuentes at alexisfuentes.life. That is quite the domain. And more importantly, we hope to see you on a bigger talking platform with Trisha Books, perhaps even TED Talks, perhaps even on one of the other stages around the country as a speaker, just letting people know that real life Catholic is just about living, even when it is kind of crappy.
Hashtag lived Catholicism.
Hashtag
it's
lived
gonna
Catholicism.
Be a thing.
I think it is a thing. I'll be back with my carryout order in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carryout order after having a conversation with Alexis Fuentes. I will apologize for all of the noise in the background, but it was perfect because there's a lot of noise in our world. And what do we got to do? We got to talk the big talk, even in the big city of the Big Apple. In other words, we need more voices to proclaim the good news. Recently, this is part of my carryout order, and they're probably the reason why I think this show was providentially released. The same week that I'm releasing this show, there was a week of controversy because Father James Martin, SJ, you may be familiar with him. He was kind of like the Colbert Report's chaplain. He's a Jesuit who kind of stirs the pot a little bit, even though I believe he is a faithful to his calling Jesuit priest. He does stir up controversial topics, especially in terms of reaching out to people who may feel marginalized, whether because they are treated marginally or they have self-inflicted victimhood status, and so they kind of see themselves on the margin of the Catholic Church. He wrote a book called Building Bridges, which is kind of like an outreach to the LGBTQA plus every letter of the alphabet community. I'm not trying to degrade it. I'm just saying that, you know, there's just new categories, and that's hard for me to keep up with. And one of the difficult categories for me to keep up with is just like, who's allowed to preach the gospel message? Technically, at a mass, it is only a priest or ordained deacon. There are exceptions to that rule, but Father Martin put out a tweet that suggested that women
should be allowed to preach. And frankly, I kind of agree with them, but not necessarily at Mass. And why? Because it is in the persona of Christ, in the person of Jesus, who is actually, hopefully, preaching through that ordained minister within that liturgy of the word and liturgy of the sacrament. So it has more to do with the role of the priest, not diminishing the responsibility of the lay people, especially lay women. So in a way, Alexis Fuentes is preaching the good news. But she's preaching it in a different way, and she's preaching, and here's what I'm really learning from this carryout order. She's speaking out of her own experiences. She's backing it up with theological information, academia, and formation, but she's speaking out of her own experiences, which is what makes preaching authentic. You know, I'm glad that she's actually found the courage to reach out to me, and she suggested that maybe I consider to interview her. And I did, and I'm glad that I did, because even though technically I want to reach out to people who aren't Catholic, she represents a very unique part of our Catholic Church. And why? She is divorced. You know, and a lot of people think, oh, if you're divorced, you're a bad Catholic. And she was even told by good Catholic people, if you're divorced, you can't become a saint. And she's here to say that's not true. She actually was willing to admit a level of immaturity on her part, and she would never speak for her husband, but together they made some, you know, hasty decisions, which a lot of people do. And so in a way, I'm glad she's preaching that you can be a good Catholic even if you are divorced. You know, I mean, then she talks about her own conversion very briefly. I'd probably find her testimony to be rather riveting, and you could probably hear all about it at the big talk. And I did take public speaking courses, but I never took it the way she's taking it right now, with a coach helping her through and developing her message and such. But I bet you she would be incredibly interesting to listen to. And what I loved, and this is certainly a carryout order from me, is that she made her Catholic faith relevant and even likable to people who are anti-Catholic. I remember having a similar experience talking to a gay man at a wedding. He basically cornered me, and he just kept asking me these questions. And frankly, I was kind of annoyed by him, but I was trying to be a positive influence. And at the end of that conversation, he said, you know what, Father Leo, you make me hate Catholics less. And I'm thinking, cha-ching, you know, that's a victory on my part and on the part of the Catholic Church. In fact, when I told seminarians how to preach, one of the first things I asked them to do was introduce themselves, even though they had already known each other for at least 3 years. They were supposed to introduce themselves and make themselves likable. And not because I think that your job as a priest is to be liked, but I had to tell them that that's a part of being able to preach well. If they don't like you, they're not going to listen to you. And what I found about Alexis is that she's very quote unquote likable and listenable. You know, and so that's a carryout order for me, because I do preach not just to Catholics in the pews, but beyond the church and the parochial boundaries. I am speaking to a lot of seculars. In fact, the reason why I was even in New York was because I was speaking to an accounting group of consultants. And, you know, they're not Catholic. They're professional, young adult, business, future leaders and current leaders. And yet, they still invite me. Wow. I mean, it was a real honor to be able to do that, but I kind of felt that synergy with Alexis because she is reaching out. I love the fact that she was willing to talk about her own conversion experience, you know, from Buddhism and then just popping into a Catholic church. That's what I love about being Catholic. The church is open every day, technically. And she was just there to pray. And she kind of fell in love with something more than the parish priest. She fell in love with the reality of the faith that is present there. And I admire the fact that she didn't necessarily feel rushed into getting an annulment. And she was also living her faith, her Catholic faith, faithfully. And I'm proud that the Catholic Church hired her, even though she's a divorced single mom. And yet she's a youth minister. And I think that that's a very positive thing. And why? Because she's going to be able to speak in a powerful way a message that only she can deliver. And I think that's the ultimate carry out order for me. Every one of us has a message because everyone is unique. Not all of us are going to be able to reach out to everyone, but I can certainly say this, that you can't leave it up to a priest only to preach the good news. We have to, as a community of believers, preach in season and out of season. And I really want especially women to be inspired by an Alexis Fuentes who is willing to speak out even to people who aren't Catholic. And I firmly believe that if all of us had that similar conviction, our world can replace all of the noise and instead we can create harmonies. That's my carryout order after listening to Alexis Fuentes. I'm glad that she joined this show, which is, again, sponsored this week by CatholicSpeakers.com. If you're looking for a preacher, a speaker, a musician for your next parish or your big event, all you've got to do is reach out to CatholicSpeakers.com. If you want to book me, you could simply go to my website, FatherLeoFeeds.com/ I think events, you could just click on that, but I'm also on CatholicSpeakers.com as well. So there are ways for us to hear the good news proclaimed by not just one voice, but by a chorus of people who are responding to that call to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in season and out of season, talking the big talk, but more importantly, walking it, even in the streets of New York City. So thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please encourage family, friends, parish members, and your pastors to listen to the show, pass it on to them, have them subscribe to their favorite podcast platform. It is free. And if you are so inclined, and we hope you are, to support us, just go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. So thank you again for your support. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.